We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
First pick in the 1991 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Larry Johnson from University of
I'm not supposed to be here, man. A lot of people from where I'm from, so don't make it.
Charlotte, we're back!
All right, welcome in to another BuzzBeat podcast, another Twitter Spaces. If you're joining us live there currently, the Hornets, a couple minutes ago, wrapped up a big road win, kind of a gross game, but I believe that is their sixth win in seven games now. And to take down another Eastern Conference team in the Boston Celtics, that's kind of in that same sort of seedings glut, is a nice feather in the cap for Charlotte. But the Hornets win 111-102, holding off a late comeback by the Celtics thanks to some hot shooting from Terry Rozier. Brian Geisinger here, and I'll be joined by Lee Branscombe. Richie producing this one. Spencer getting the night off. Lee, what did you think, as people are starting to come into the space here, Lee, what did you think, instant reaction to the Hornets with a big road win over the Celtics with, I should note, just a brutal offensive performance from Jason Tatum in this game, as far as shooting the basketball goes?
Yes. Strange game, but
yeah,
like massive win, like just from a standing standpoint. I mean, it's, you know, probably beating a little bit of a dead horse, but like at this point for the Charlotte Hornets, like every game, particularly against other kind of comparable Eastern Conference foes, is just a massive win. The I think Mike Green pointed it out throughout the game, but like only five games separate first in the East to 10th in the East. So we're jumbled up in there, and any victory is a big victory for the Hornets, but particularly a victory against the Boston Celtics on the road in kind of a weird game. I mean, like you said, Boston's offense was just anemic and disgusting to watch. But Charlotte didn't necessarily do itself any favors, particularly in the first half. Some ugly shooting, five turnovers from LaMelo in the first quarter, which I'm sure we'll kind of get into to hit his game and his box score as well. And then I'm sure we'll get into the nuance of kind of Hornets figuring out that zone a little bit late in the fourth quarter, Brian. But instant knee-jerk reaction is just like overcoming some strange adversity and foul troubles throughout the game. And, you know, kind of putting the Celtics in a phone booth tonight, even though they did it to themselves as much as we did it to them.
Yeah, I thought this game had some weird ebbs and flows to it. It started out early on with Boston in man-to-man and Charlotte, a lot of spread pick and roll. I thought they did a pretty nice job kind of getting a piece of the paint. LaMelo getting downhill early, kicking out to Gordon Hayward, who had a, you know, kind of a quiet game for Hayward. Really played like 20, 21 minutes in this game. Just 2 of 4 shooting. Yeah, foul trouble. And I think they sort of benefited to an extent from you know, having the length and athleticism of Jalen McDaniels and Cody Martin and Kelly Oubre, who had missed the last four or five games, he returned and, you know, hit some big shots, hit some two huge threes in the fourth quarter for Charlotte. Took one questionable shot early in the second half that had me doing the no. Oh, come on, Kelly. But for the most part, he was, I thought, welcomed, you know, addition to the lineup. And also with Oubre in the first quarter, just a couple of, like, interesting, like, trick-or-treat moments with him defensively as far as, like, helping at the nail goes. Like, there was one time Tatum was ISO'd versus Cody Martin, and I thought Cody actually had him, like, you know, was kind of keeping him at bay. Kelly slid over, helped out with the early help. Tatum kicks to the corner, extra pass. It was a Josh Richardson three. But then on the last play of the first quarter, Kelly comes over, helps out on Tatum, and picks up a steal. So, yeah, again, there's the duality of Kelly Oubre kind of just flying around defensively. And then I thought Charlotte never really got into their transition, their run game all that much. Thought they had some success going after Dennis Schroeder, who, like, this is kind of like, I mean, Boston is flawed. This roster is, like, flawed in a lot of different ways. And to be clear, like, they're missing some really good players. Like, you know, Marcus Smart just got out of COVID protocols, but I think he's doing some, like, he's in, like, a reconditioning phase, I think is how the Celtics phrased it. So he has not returned. No Rob Williams, who, congratulations.
Who we always struggle with. Brian, Rob Williams.
I mean, he's one of the types of centers that's going to give the Hornets issues. Like, yeah, you have the Embiid, you know, Jokic, just, you know, incredible talent types. And then you have the lob threat, you know, the really quick, like, leapers. And that's, you know, Williams can do more than that. He can pass. Like, he's a really good young center. Kind of is in the mold of the player type that Charlotte, like, very kind of badly needs at the center position. And then Boston goes to zone in the fourth quarter and, you know, really kind of gave the Hornets, like, a taste of their own medicine, right? Like, yep, all these plays you want to run, all the pick and roll you want to do, guess what? You're going to have to get rid of some of that and rework some of that. And then after Boston kind of downshifts, goes back to man-to-man, just some huge buckets down the stretch from Miles Bridges. Like, both right around the seven to six minute mark of the fourth quarter, isolated versus Jaylen Brown, who's obviously a phenomenal player, did not have a great shooting night, but Bridges gets downhill, tough, like, right-handed, like, extension runner, goes glass, beautiful touch on that. And then on the next possession, same thing, ISO versus Jaylen Brown, he gets downhill, gets left, gets to the rim, and then, like, 90 seconds after that, he gets matched up with Al Horford, who Bridges saw a lot of Horford in this game, didn't settle, you know, for a pull-up shot or for a step-back or whatever, got downhill, isolation two on that, and then about another minute after that, he got the transition run-out dunk after, you know, probably a blown call by the referee as far as the ball going off. Was it Bridges? Was it Miles's foot that they missed the call on that? I think
Grant
Williams.
Yeah.
But either way, those were huge. Bridges, the shot making from Bridges, the downhill driving from Bridges, and then of course the shot making from Rozier and Oubre was huge in this game. Again, not a full complement of players for the Celtics without Rob Williams, without Marcus Smart, and Tatum and Brown struggling, but. You know, I thought Charlotte with Gordon Hayward in foul trouble, not getting the usual sort of like PJ Washington, you know, offensive output either. You know, they go out there and they get a pretty nice win on the road. Who cares about some of the other details with what the other team didn't have? So I thought all in all, I thought this was a nice win for Charlotte. After a cold start shooting from deep early in this game, the Hornets finish up 16 of 39. From deep, which is huge, and Rozier really carried the way with 6 of 11 shooting. But yeah, well, Lee, why don't we go ahead and get into Melo? I'll read off some of the stats here. I don't know if you have some thoughts on just kind of I think this is one of these games that our partner Spencer Percy would describe as the full LaMelo experience. I believe that's how Spencer would probably describe this. But yeah. LaMelo, and Lee, you texted the group thread with a minute or so left in this game, but the stat line for LaMelo, 32 minutes plus 3, 5 of 15 shooting, but 3 of 6 on threes, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and 8 turnovers. So, yeah, thoughts on LaMelo, and feel free to go with it in any direction. How did you think about the young point guard's performance tonight?
Yeah, well, it was a weird LaMelo game, because in the first, I'd say, 5 minutes of the game, it was, like, pretty clear that Boston didn't have a whole lot from him in terms of, like, resisting him in the pick and roll and, like, mm-hmm. resisting him getting downhill towards the rim. Like, obviously, with no Rob Williams in there, you're pretty much playing with either Horford or Tanner at center, or you're playing small. So, like, LaMelo getting downhill, getting to the rim, having some nice finishes early, I was kind of thinking, oh, man, like, this is going to be one of those awesome kind of, like, aggressive offensive scoring games from Melo early. And you even heard it from JB in one of the timeouts. That's the cool thing about these, like, national TV games. You get a little bit of mic'd up at JB, and he's like, Melo, I need the rim. I need the rim. Like, downhill. Get downhill, which I thought was fantastic. But then, you know, LaMelo kind of does what he does at times and got a little cold. Also, he had five of his 8 turnovers were in the first quarter. So he was not a fantastic caretaker of the ball kind of in that mid to late first quarter. But then just a couple other points. For LaMelo, you mentioned the 10 rebounds. 4 of those were offensive. And about the way LaMelo – I mean, look, this is the same, like, cerebral genius that you see in his passing and also in his, defensive anticipation, getting in the passing lane. He also does this thing, BG, where he just, like, knows exactly where his misses are going sometimes. I think two or three of his offensive rebounds were off his own misses. And a couple of those he kicked out for threes. I guess the point I'm trying to make here is, like, even on a night where, you know, LaMelo had his struggles, evidenced by the box score shooting numbers and his turnovers, he still puts together just, like, an impressive box score, nearly a triple-double. And also, the last thing I was going to say, BG, was, you know, hit that massive three-pointer with 2 minutes left, pushes the lead from 6-9. Then on the very next possession, he dices up the Celtics defense and finds Rozier for a three that pushes the lead from 9-12. And then Schroeder throws in 2 garbage threes, and then Rozier has to make the ridiculous step back to kind of put the game away. But yeah, I mean, you know, I can get in kind of a cold sweat talking about LaMelo. So sorry for the rant there, but that's where we're at.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
No, that's what I wanted to hear. And then before, I've got a couple things to add on LaMelo, but before that, if any of y'all would like to speak up, just let us know. We're taking requests for speakers. So, yeah, if you got something to say, go ahead and let us know, and we'll try to get you in here. But as far as LaMelo goes, there was a stretch in the third quarter about halfway through. It was back-to-back possessions. He got two offensive rebounds. One of them, I think, he dribbled out, dribble handoff with Rozier. Schroeder was slow to switch. Rozier bombed a three off of DHO. Next possession, another offensive rebound for LaMelo. Kicked it out. Rozier, relocation three. Those guys are just – they're synced up, man. Like, he knows to look for Terry. That's a security blanket for him. That really is, like, him throwing to his – quarterback throwing to his favorite, slot receiver on third down. Like, he's looking for Terry, floating around the arc. They're good together offensively. They certainly have their limitations on defense, but offensively, those guys can really go and do a pretty nice job playing off one another, even if, there can be rim pressure concerns, I guess, to an extent with them. But Bridges is just getting so damn good going downhill. Like, all of it, it's the explosive first step. It's the strength. It's how he transitions that crossover dribbler the first step. He gets that shoulder, the inside shoulder underneath that of the defender as he's going in. Just super impressive. And we've talked about this a couple of times. I've gone back and forth with this with Polar or Skyfall on Twitter, which the man is a basketball genius and a legend on Twitter. And we've talked about Bridges finishing before. I really do think his numbers finishing at the rim this season, which are like, okay, not great, really undersell just how creative and how ambitious of a finisher is. Certainly you want it to be higher, but the degree of difficulty and sort of like what is asked of him as a finisher in the offense, I think can like depress those numbers a little bit and sort of like undersell just how skilled he really is. I do think the
and the both hands too.
Yeah, the both hands can jump off either foot, can finish from weird angles. The reverse he had on Monday in New York was absolutely sick. Just like him being able to start out on one side of the rim and just absolutely float to the other side. He's got everything in like the finishing package around the rim in a way that is possibly unique to him. I think Zion does some similar stuff, but Bridges is kind of unique, especially when you put it together with the with his he's streaky, but with like the step back shooting abilities. Some other thoughts I had about LaMelo. I think you touched on it, but the two big threes he hit. One of them came after a timeout. I think Boston was in zone. JB called up probably a play that I'm guessing he said, man, I'll have to check the film on this, but like I'm guessing it was something he said, zone or man, bleep it, we're running this play, which is something they run all the time for Rozier. They usually do it against man-to-man drop coverage, but it's a veer pin-down look where they fake them. They look like they're going to run up Plumlee or PJ run up like they're going to set a ball screen for LaMelo, and then they'll dive out in the direction of Rozier, and he'll run in the direction of the center, come off a pin-down, look for a shot. Melo hits Rozier. Boston rotates, kicks it back to LaMelo. LaMelo hits a massive three down the stretch, but just love the execution, in the sense that it also required some adaptation on the fly, which is kind of cool. And I think something that maybe you're looking in. And for me, as the Hornets are in this last thought I have on LaMelo, as the Hornets are in this win now approach and they're gunning for the playoffs. And I understand that they're going about it in a way that for the most part seems, like they're not like mortgaging anything. Right. You know what I mean? To really push for that. But I think it's important to also remember that, LaMelo, he turned 25 months ago. Like, this is all still a learning process. This team is still one of the five or six youngest teams in the NBA. Bridges is young. PJ's young. Jalen McDaniels, 23 years old. Like, all super young. And so for a game like this, sort of a, you know, the arena was quiet up until the last 3 minutes, and then it got really loud. You're on the road, kind of a gross game. I think it's just a learning, like it's to an extent, like it's a learning experience. These are like good reps to get. And, you know, every day in the NBA, you know, you're just trying to spin the wheel a little bit when you're a young team that's sort of like marinating, right? You're just trying to spin the wheel a little bit. And some days you grab the wheel and you whip the hell out of it. It spins a lot. And other days, you know, you go up to it and you can only spin it or pull it a little bit. And this kind of felt somewhere in between those two. But I do think it's like valuable for Charlotte and yeah, just a nice win. And I thought there were a few guys that had good moments. Is there anyone else you'd like to touch on as far as individual performances go for the Hornets, or any sort of other like broad thoughts on the team?
I thought maybe we could hit on McDaniels for a second. You already, I think you covered Oubre well already. Like it was just so good to have him back in the lineup. He just gives them so much more versatility and scoring juice off the bench. So we don't have to belabor that. McDaniels, who did almost all of his damage in the first half, you know, 12 points for him, 10 in the first half, 2 for 2 from three. McDaniels had kind of an up and down, I would say, last 2 to 3 weeks. So it was really good to see him step in, particularly on a night where PJ Washington didn't really have it going. Another guy who's been a little cold, I'd say, over the last 2 to 3 weeks. Still, PJ still had some nice defensive plays, a couple like in traffic rebounds that were important. But McDaniels on a night, like I said, where PJ couldn't really find much, Bridges couldn't really find much from deep, McDaniels kind of got them through a like 3 to 4 minute stretch there in the first half where Boston was kind of trying to nurse like a 3 to 7 point lead, and McDaniels was really important in keeping it close and even like retaking the lead at one point in that first half. One other point for him, he had a play in the first half where he got the and one on the left side off the dribble drive. He missed the free throw, but it was like this start and stop, like dribble drive hesitation move that I hadn't really seen from him. Just a super tight handle, really nice, like, breaks on and then accelerate past the defender and hit kind of like a leaning bank shot and one. So, like, you know, it's a small thing, but, like, just anytime you're picking up kind of these, like, you know, these new tight, like, executed dribble isolation moves from a guy like McDaniels is always encouraging. And then the only other thing I was going to say, and I would be kind of curious on your thoughts here, BG, like we know the defense has been trending in a positive direction over the last, I'd say, 3 weeks to a month. You know, the Hornets are now, I believe, 25th or 26th in defensive efficiency, which sounds bad, but when you're coming from dead last, like that's actually like kind of a noticeable improvement. They've been like a top 10 to 12 defense over the last 3 weeks. Tonight, you know, they give up 102, but they hold the Celtics to 43% shooting, 30% from the field. Look, a lot of this was just a historically bad night from Jason Tatum. But, you know, I'm just kind of wondering where you're at, what your headspace is for, like, the defense that has been improving. But also tonight, like, to be fair, the Celtics did just miss a ton of open shots.
Yeah, agreed. It's somewhere, like, I think you even tweeted something at halftime or after the first quarter that kind of tied up my thoughts, which were similar, of just, like, some nice individual plays and stretches for the defense. Mm-hmm. But Boston was also missing some good looks. And I do think you saw in the fourth quarter, when Boston started like kind of like punching back a little bit after they dug a pretty big hole, was they started getting rim pressure or getting into paint and then kicking out. I thought the corners started opening up. Horford got a three. Grant Williams got a three. And I mean, it wasn't enough. And like Charlotte's going to give up some of that stuff. But I thought, because you brought up McDaniels, I do want to mention, he had a couple plays defensively in this game that were awesome too. The chase down block he had in the first half was so sick. And that's something that he does. Like he is a help side rim protector. He is a transition rim protector with his length, with his anticipation, his instincts, and his aggression, his willingness to try to block everything. Like one of the things I really love about this Charlotte team is just like, they don't back down. Like they all, and maybe it's youth, but like, I think part of it is culture and guys they drafted, and like, all these guys are going to try to block everything and dunk everything. I don't know. Over the course of a long season, maybe they have some nights where this is to be expected, where like that sort of aggression and that fight is missing. And I think maybe you'd sort of like to see it manifest itself more in terms of like team defense, right? And assignment defense. But as far as like impact stuff, like when things get like, are going to get like kinetic at the rim, like the Hornets have like no issues, you know, getting after it. I think Bridges sets a huge tone with that. Like so much of this team is in LaMelo's identity, but I do think that's something that Bridges really is the one who like sets the agenda when it comes to like, they're going to try to block everything. They're going to fight for every rebound. I thought they won. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not going to like go up and check the like hustle stats on ESPN.com for this after the game, but I just thought they were good getting the 50-50 balls tonight, getting long rebounds, getting on the offensive glass. We touched on LaMelo earlier. And even before McDaniels had that chase down block, he had a really nice, like the Charlotte, I think was in man-to-man at the time. Someone rolled and McDaniels slid over from the weak side. I think he was like low man, weak side corner. It didn't block the shot, I don't think, but like got there, contested, was vertical at the rim. And that's something he does very well defensively. Like he does give you some of that back line, weak side rim protection. I also love that even when Cantor got an and one bucket on him, McDaniels was like, I mean, he went after him. Like they were sort of like chirping at one another after the play. And I don't know. I kind of like Charlotte having a little bit of an edge. Yeah, PJ had a couple big blocks in this game too, which was certainly nice to see. But we do have a speaker request. This is Evan, who's going to be joining us here. Evan, what's up, man? What are your thoughts on the game tonight?
What's up, guys? Great job breaking down as usual. I'm really loving these Twitter spaces with you guys. I missed the last one after the Knicks game. I was actually at that game to Philly the week before.
Nice.
Yeah, I tried to get there tonight too, but my wife, you know, she wasn't on board. But man, I love this team. This team is the most fun that I've had. It's a Hornets team in a long time. And I don't know if you're listening, Kelly Oubre, but I need to apologize for you. I was not happy with Kelly after we signed him. I was okay, whatever. After the first week of the season, I was not liking what I was seeing, but man, was it good. Like you said, it's just so great to have that spark coming off the bench. The versatility that he gives us on offense, you know, when he hit that three at the end, when it comes out of his hand, what are you doing? And then it goes in and you're like, wow, Kelly, I don't even have, sometimes I don't have words for what he does. And then, I mean, and Miles, I think Richie, you pointed out, you had a clip the other day before the game, during that Knick game where they put a bigger guy on him, they put Julius Randle on him, they put Al Horford on him, and you just isolate him at the top, and he goes downhill, and he can finish so well with either hand. He's just a load right now. Can't even imagine what he's going to get in the offseason, how happy, you know, that how well that worked out for him. If Hornets lose him, I think I'm going to have to call Mitch Kupchak myself and give him my earful. But like I said, this is just a fun situation to be with right now.
No, I was just going to say, no, that, I mean, totally agree. A couple kind of, I guess, responses there. Number one, like, Oubre. I mean, we already hit on it a little bit. We don't have to, like, completely belabor it, but it's just worth noting that, like, he's having a career year from an efficiency standpoint, from basically everywhere on the floor. You know, if you go look at Kelly Oubre's basketball reference page, like, 3-point percentage, 2-point percentage, field goal percentage. He is having a career year. I mean, this is something that happened with Terry Rozier when he came to Charlotte too. I mean, he was a solid shooter. He was a decently efficient offensive player in Boston. But Terry has taken things to another level in Charlotte. He's become, like we've talked about on this podcast, like one of the elite kind of movement and catch and shoot three pointers in the, on the planet, frankly. And Oubre right now is doing something similar from a career efficiency standpoint. Oubre, you know, who only spent 1 year in college, I think people forget, like, he is kind of more on this age timeline with this young core than you might think, just because he's been in the league for a while. So yeah, it was fantastic to have Oubre back. And the other thing I wanted to respond to, which was a great point by Evan, that we kind of hinted at, that isolation stuff with Bridges at the top of the key. I mean, on a night where Bridges didn't have the three ball going, I think he was 1 for 7, 1 for 6 tonight from three. I still thought he settled like once or twice for jump shots against Horford when he could have just put the ball on the ground and abused him like he did on three or four other possessions. But he did this the other night against the Knicks too, whether it was most of the time he was abusing Randall, but there were even a couple of possessions where he did it to Barrett too. And so, like, when you get, you know, when you get these slower footed wings and posts that are kind of on an island against Bridges at the top of the key, and you saw the Hornets go back to it multiple times tonight. It's a really nice late game, like, tool and wrinkle for them to add to, yes, you know, the actions that you talk about for to spring Terry open, Brian, and then also for, like, the mismatch hunting they'll do with LaMelo and Hayward. And this was something we talked about a lot in the preseason. It was like, okay, no Devontae Graham, who'd been a big-time kind of clutch player for the Hornets for the last two seasons. No Malik Monk, who had his moments with playmaking and clutch play. Like, how are the Hornets going to figure out, you know, how to manufacture effective offense late in games with this, you know, kind of new conglomeration and a different roster construction? And I think, like, you're starting to see those pieces come together, which is really important. Great. Thanks for coming up, Evan. Great point.
Yeah.
Always good to see you, man.
Yeah. What I would add on to, as far as Bridges goes, Doris Burke talked about this, I think, with it when Al Horford was defending him on the broadcast, maybe it was Grant Williams, where they pressed up on him a little bit and Bridges drove around, and Doris Burke made some comment about, hey, he's having a tough night shooting, you know, why don't you sack off of him a little bit and try to jam up those lanes, which is a great point. I think, though, the way teams are guarding him speaks to, you know, it's like when Grant Williams is out there, he's not thinking, oh, this guy's a 33% shooter. Well, maybe Grant's actually pretty, like, analytically minded, so maybe he is. But, like, the point I want to make is, actually, I think it speaks to how the importance of the willingness of someone to shoot those shots. And we talk about this usually around draft season when we're evaluating prospects. And we'll talk about, like, you know, like, oh, it was great to see, like, last season at Texas Tech, Taryn Shannon is more inclined to shoot threes, and that matters. Like, it does. This is one of those cases where, like, volume just tends to matter. Volume and type of shots tend to matter maybe a little bit more than the percentages do in a certain way in terms of, like, how teams are going to maybe not even scout you but defend you when the ball is actually rolled out and the action starts flying around. So I think that's something to matter. Another thing on Bridges, what is so cool, and I remember saying this on a draft pod in 2017 when Bridges was, like, had his name in and then ended up coming back to Michigan State. The guy plays both sides of the pick and roll. He did it in college. He's doing it at another level now, certainly as a ball handler. But his, like, short roll passing and playmaking is so good. He has at least two possessions every game. Like, tonight he had a short roll catch, spin, right-hand hook finish in the lane. Recently he's had a couple beautiful kick-out passes on short rolls. Just, like, the fact that he can play both sides of that action, Hayward can do this too, is really awesome. But then you can run inverted pick and roll with him as the ball handler and Terry running a ghost screen. And then the next possession, you can run spread pick and roll with LaMelo and Miles as the screener. And Bridges can slip, he can roll hard, they're best lob catcher by a mile. Although Plumlee had two nice lob finishes tonight off LaMelo pick and roll finds, but he's their best lob finisher, and he can pop. And once he pops, he can shoot, he can attack, he can pass. It's just like the entire chessboard is open up to him. You know what I mean? As soon as he either creates the advantage or helps create the advantage with a screen and then is building off of it when he's attacking downhill. Two quick thoughts on Oubre, and then we can wrap up here. But just one, what is cool? I think the Rozier comparison you brought up, as far as like how this was a you know, notable offseason acquisition and how it's worked out pretty well. You know, they don't have like an identical offensive profile, but a lot of the stuff that JB uses for Rozier, they run a fair amount of it for Kelly. Like, there's different stuff they do for different guys, but some of the movement shooting stuff that Oubre gets into is, I mean, it's just, it's right from the same cloth that Rozier has had success with. I've brought this up once or twice before, but I do think that it's important that, you know, I know Oubre was more of like a mid-tier signing. You're just using your cap space, you know what I mean, before you lose it. And this was one of the guys to get. I think it's important to be able to show this to future free agents and to say, if you want to come into the funhouse here with LaMelo and James Borrego and Miles Bridges, look what you can do. Because I'm guessing Kelly Oubre, like, I mean, he signed, like, they signed him for what, 11, isn't it, 11 or 12 million a year? I don't know how Kelly Oubre fashions himself. I'm guessing he thinks he probably deserves a little bit more money. So they can say, hey, you want to come in here and inflate your value or get it to where you think it should be? Come here. Come play for us. And I think that can be a draw for a guy that's filling out a roster and is going to be a bench scorer like Oubre. But it could potentially be the selling point even for the second or third star down the line if Charlotte ever finds itself in a place with cap space, which, you know, we'll see about that going forward. But and what I will be curious to see with Oubre is most importantly, like how he finishes this season out, because he's been just bombing threes this year. I think he's over 13 3-point attempts per 100 possessions, just bombing it, bombing threes at a rate that he's never had
letting
before.
Letting it fly.
And he's hitting them too, which is great. They just turned him loose as a catch and shoot monster for this team. It's awesome. And I will be curious to see, because that defense, that contract is non-guaranteed or only like very lightly guaranteed for next season. I'll be curious to see, you know, if Oubre is moved at any point in time, just essentially like what the, not that we like to think about these things in these kinds of terms where you're talking about guys as a contract or whatever, but like you use the cap space to sign this guy. Okay. Well then, When this relationship reaches its logical endpoint, what do you turn that into? Can you turn it into a couple younger players or draft picks or something like that? Like, that's going to be kind of an interesting challenge, perhaps at some point in the next year for the for Mitch Kupchak in the front office. So just something to keep an eye on here. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up here, but we do want to thank a bunch of listeners that have been in here for a while: Evan, Josh, Kevin McChrystal, Austin, Joan, Koji, thank you all very much for rolling with us tonight. It makes these things a lot more fun. We've got people active listening and wanting to chat. And again, if you didn't get in this time and would like to in the future, like, come on with it. We can talk Hornets, and if you want to know, you know, what I'm having for breakfast tomorrow, you want Richie to rank his favorite cereals, we will talk. We can talk non-basketball stuff too. Like, but I mean, we were hoping for Hornets questions, but if you've got random inquiries, like, you know, we're an open book here. So hit us up. And of course, please make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. All of that stuff helps us out a ton. This podcast should be in your feeds, I'm guessing, tomorrow, which will be Thursday, January 20th. But after that, we've already got something lined up for next week. Richie has a great guest booked. He's going to be doing an interview with Asa Shamedy, the Hornets veteran at this point now, sideline reporter and ace broadcaster, who is really, you know, a key part of the team and one of the most fun and exciting broadcast trios in the NBA, along with Eric Collins and Del Curry, for sure. But Richie also gave me a sneak preview of some stuff that will be in that podcast, and I'm like, I think it's going to be really fun. I think it's going to be a really fun listen. That should be in your feeds next Monday. I don't know the date. I just know it'll be next Monday. Sometime in January, you can listen to that. This has been Brian, joined by Lee, Richie on the ones and twos. Shout out to Spencer. Talk to you soon. And everyone who joined us in tonight, thank you for being here. And, yeah, catch us next time on BuzzBeat. Go Hornets.